And we'll read just the one verse and then expand from there, hopefully, Lord willing. Colossians 3, verse 14, just a few words, and let's read it out loud together. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. All these things. Yeah, look back at the verses and say, what things? We know he's putting love, charity, above all of them. And then what other things? We're going to call this prayer and care. Prayer and care. Because they go together, right? It doesn't do much good, according to James, if your faith is dead without works. You have lots of faith, lots of prayer, lots of intercession, but you don't demonstrate that in care. It's not going to result in what God intends. So they go together, prayer and care. You can be seated. So we do look back at verses 12 and 13 of Colossians 3 and see what things Paul was referring to. And he makes quite an impressive list for the elect of God, holy and beloved. Praise the Lord. That's you. Amen. These are the things that are to be demonstrated and to be in your life in a powerful way. And so put them on or clothe yourself. Not put on in the sense of theatrical or fake, but in the way of clothing yourself so that it's evident of what you have and what you wear. And so the list includes mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness. That's quite an impressive list. And obviously very much in opposition to the culture that we are in right now of self and self-promotion, you know, self-gratification and all of the things of self that our world emphasizes in so many ways. But the reason Paul would list these things, these attributes, these aspects of godly character, is because they are evidence of a changed life. Your life is different. Your life is changed. It's not going along with the scheme that the devil had for you with his deceit. No, it's something new, something better, something powerful. And thank the Lord, he helps us to grow in those things, to increase in those things, and to demonstrate the fruit. The Lord said, by their fruit, you shall know them. And the fruit that may take some time to grow and to demonstrate what kind of tree it is, you show what kind of person you are. And obviously, these things have to come forth with a supernatural intervention. You can try to manifest those things. And I've seen people who manifested a measure of those things amazingly well. I was impressed. But we know there's a limit to human goodness. And it's going to turn. It's going to change. It's going to be manifest in a nature that is opposed to the things of God. So love, being the bond of perfectness, means that love is going to bind all of these virtues together. Love is going to be the way they operate. Just like we see in 1 Corinthians 13, that the gifts of the Spirit have to operate in love, so likewise these virtues will operate in love, by love, empowered by love. It binds them together. And then obviously we know it unites us as believers. That love will bind us together. And thank the Lord, there's that aspect of it as well. No wonder Paul says love is above all. We're to follow through on that. We're to manifest that. We're to live in that. Praise God. And Paul ended 1 Corinthians 13 by saying, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And thank the Lord, he he let us know it's going to continue. It's not something that's going to fizzle out, not going to be something that just evaporates with the noon sun. No, they abide. But the greatest, he said, is love. And then in verse 8 of that chapter, he gave the reason why love is so great. Love never fails. Praise God. Aren't you glad to know the God that loves you, the God that rescued you, the God that saved you, the God that redeemed you is never going to fail because God is love. Thank God. There's going to be that endurance that continues on. Thank the Lord for the power of God. Now, the list that we read here of seven qualities, seven aspects of godliness are impressive. They're wonderful. They're great. But the reason you have them and are to manifest them is because you will encounter the opposite of them. And that's when they have an impact. That's when they become evidence. That's when they're demonstrated. That's when you show what you have of God in your life. Not just trophies on the wall and things like that that you can look at and be impressed, you know, a book on your shelf and so on. No, you will encounter the opposite of these things and the needs and the experiences that come as a result are going to force you. Force is not the right word. It's going to give you the opportunity to manifest what these qualities and characteristics are. Now, the works of the flesh. That's quite a list in Galatians 5. The NLT puts it in a little more modern language when you look at the 17 things that are listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like that. I think the apostle got tired of listing the things that, you know, are so negative. And but he definitely reminds us with a strong warning the danger of these things being in your life and ruling you. He said, let me tell you again, as I have before, that everyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a strong warning. And we've got to remember that we can't just excuse those things and say, oh, well, it's just the way they were brought up. Just my, some people use nationality as an excuse. Some people use their background and so on. No, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Amen. Live in the power of the Spirit. Deny the flesh and the lusts of the flesh. And thank God we can move into the realm of that power and blessing that the Lord has provided. And there's a time to escape, and there's a time to engage. Now, escape is in the Scripture. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And thank God we're partakers of the divine nature, and we have precious promises, great and precious promises, whereby we are made partakers. I like the way Peter writes about that in his second letter. But Paul also told Timothy twice to flee. Flee the things that come against you. Flee the youthful lusts. Youthful meaning the immaturity that's there, the lack of foresight and not being able to weigh consequences and results against the momentary pleasure. Flee those things and follow. And I like the way he has a list again. And the combination of 1 Timothy 6:11, 2 Timothy 2 and 22, the things to follow include these items and their characteristics of godliness again. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness or gentleness, and peace. Thank God. Again, and I'm sure you've noticed, every aspect of those lists is positive. There's no negatives there. There's nothing that will make you ashamed. Nothing that will cause embarrassment. Nothing that will cause you to blush. Thank God. They're from the Lord, and they're the blessings that he has for us. So we flee, we escape, and 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 lets us know that God will make a way to escape. Praise God. And I'm thankful that in some ways that might be a negative picture here that is painted. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. What we take out of that is the positive: God is faithful. Praise God. So no matter what you face, no matter what you come up against, no matter what the devil throws at you, the Lord is faithful and will make a way to escape. Praise God. Others have done it. Others have made it. Others have beaten the addictions. Others have passed from a past life and moved into the blessings of the Lord. And you can too. Praise God. And thank the Lord. There is that win that the Lord has put us on that path. Thank God. And we know. So we also have to be ready to engage. And by that we mean go ahead and witness. Go ahead and testify. Go ahead and share scripture. Praise God. I read somewhere there are so many unignorable issues. Unignorable, is that a word? I guess so. You just can't ignore them. You just can't bypass them. There are things that you can't and shouldn't ignore. And thank God we can step into the realm of spiritual victory because the Lord has provided for that means. Brother Hernandez, in his book, it's a short book. I hope you can get it. It's only a few chapters long, and the chapters are real short, but oh my goodness, they are powerful. There's some tremendous things that are in there as well. He makes a strong point that what we value, we make time for. And sometimes the value is placed on, or brought about rather, by circumstances. For example, if you're sick, you make time for the doctor, don't you? If you have a toothache, oh my goodness, the phone's ringing to make an appointment to get that taken care of. And we can go on. He didn't go on, but we can. If your car is not running right, you take it to the shop and the inconvenience and all of that. And on it can go. But we recognize what we value, we make time for. That's why you're in the house of the Lord tonight. You value the presence of the Lord, like Brother Aaron was talking about. You value the goodness of God and his touch in your life. Thank God that we know his power, his goodness, and his blessing. That's why you pray. That's why you read the Word of God. And we thank the Lord for it. Amen. All right. Praise God. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. There's an answer to prayer. Amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful God answers prayer. Hallelujah. How long did you have the diabetes? 5 years. And now the Lord touched you, and there's healing. Praise God. That is so good. We thank the Lord for it. Praise God. That's how good our God is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Hallelujah. He healeth thee of all thy diseases. Glory to God. What a great God. Amen. Now, what is of eternal value is what we've got to focus on to engage. We can engage on so many things. And we prayed tonight about people who are undergoing cancer treatment. We prayed about other loved ones who are not well. And certainly that is what we want to pray about, because God heals. But the eternal aspect is what we've got to continually and consistently focus on. Amen. The only eternal aspect is salvation. And that's what we've got to make sure that we follow through on. God's heartbeat is that he came to seek and to save the lost. You know, I try to remind myself, Luke 19:10 is God's heartbeat. And then I reverse that. Luke 10:19, the Lord said, I give you power. Go ahead and tread on scorpions, serpents. I don't want to even get close to them, but I had to. I could step on them. Praise God. But this is the part that's good. Over all the power of the enemy. He gave you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. Now, use the power of Luke 10:19 to fulfill Luke 19:10. Seek and to save the lost. Win. Praise God. And see what God's going to do. See how God's going to fulfill his plan through you. Amen. We thank God for that power and blessing. And remember what Paul said, you live like that, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And the vast majority of our population is going down that road. God help us. Amen. Not just to be, you know, singing our praises and us four no more, we're all doing good, you know. And no, to recognize you've got a message that will redeem. You've got a message that will give hope. You've got a message that will change lives. God, help us to be able to step into the battle, engage, praise God, and let people know you can have a different life. And there are times to escape, we know that, but there's also that need to engage, because above all, love, and love never fails. Amen. I get these emails from the National Day of Prayer, the network of, now I can't remember what it's called, but anyway, when in the first Thursday of May, we have that National Day of Prayer, and they send me emails just to remind me about those things, and I try to read them because they're good. They've got some good stuff in there, and I pray, oh God, if they're that sensitive to what your word says, lead them to truth of Acts 2:38. Lead them to the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Lead them to the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here, let me just share a few of them here. God is calling his church to engage. With a heart of compassion, God is seeking a church that will carry his gospel in our mouths and his love in our hands and feet. See, that's prayer and care. Amen. To move into both realms, not to leave one at the expense of the other, but together. Praise God. Love isn't telling someone what you know. It's giving someone what they need, and thereby introducing them to who we know, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Maxwell is so fond of the statement, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that certainly fits the situation that we see happening in this world right now. And thank God that we can be the hand of God and the mouth of God with such a powerful message. Here's a third one. We embody love by fully joining God in his biblical mission, which forsook comfort in pursuit of the coming kingdom of God. Amen. And his heartbeat, to seek and to save the lost. Amen. God help us to be able to move in to love in action. Amen. Not just a concept, not just a principle, not just an idea, not just something that we toss around, but something in action. Praise God. We move from the posture of prayer into a life that cares. And thank God that there's that power that we can demonstrate because of being intercessors. Intercessors are empowered to fulfill love and action. Jude, the end of Jude has a plan of action for you, for yourself, and then it has a plan of action for reaching out. Go ahead and turn to Jude, the last few verses. 20 and 21, he gives these tips or these points these situations that we're to fulfill. Build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praise God. You can do that? Yeah, you can. Amen. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to be frail. You can build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Go ahead and reach out to the Lord. Go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Praise God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Thank the Lord that we can remain in that place, because that's above all, remember. That's the bond of perfectness. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. We know there's judgment too. We know that will come. But oh, I want his mercy. I want to be in the place where his mercy is extended to me. And then remember, it's for eternal life. Praise God. That's going to be the outcome that we're striving for. That's what we want to see happen, is a step into that realm of eternal life. Okay, now, that's for you. Now, what about others? 22 and 23 gives Jude's plan of action for reaching out. From some, make a difference with compassion. Compassion is that love in action. It's that recognition that love is going to make a difference in their lives. Praise God. And in love, you speak the truth. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. There's a love of the truth, and there's the truth of love. Put them together. Let them operate together. That's not a play on words. Think about it. That's a recognition of how powerful that what God has given you, that he's going to emphasize and bring that to pass. Praise God. Others, you pull out of the fire. There's an urgency. There's a recognition that if they are not on their way to heaven, there's only one other place they're on the way to. God help us, amen, to understand how urgent it is and how necessary it is that your testimony and your efforts come forth, fearful that they will be in fiery judgment. Hate the filthy garment spotted by sin, the flesh, and all of the negatives that are against the things of God. Hate those things, but love the soul. Amen. Just like the Lord did. Thank God that there is that demonstration that God can bring forth as we reach out to him and desire him to work through us and in us. Now, let's go back to those godly characteristics. And let's examine ourselves here just a bit. The evidence of a changed life and how we are to live in that realm, how we're to show the demonstration of those godly characteristics. How do I speak? How do I talk? Do I talk negatively? Do I talk in a pessimistic way? Is everything sour? No, God's given us a whole bunch of things to be positive about. Amen. And I thank God that we can let no corrupt communication or evil words come out of our mouths, but words that are edifying, words that minister grace, like Ephesians 4 and 29 tells us to. Ephesians 4 and 29, go ahead and put it up, bro, if you would. And I'll share from the New Living Translation of that verse. Don't use foul or abusive language. Abusive language, you know, the negative, the put-downs, the mocks, mockery, and so on. It may not be profanity, but it's still negative. It's still abusive. Don't talk like that. To your wife, to your husband, whatever the case is, to your children, whatever. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Amen. And the King James says, minister grace. Thank God there's grace that God is going to minister to our hearts. Another question, do I listen more than I speak? And we know the ratio of your ears to your mouth, so twice as much, hopefully. But James tells us, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's self-control, isn't it? And there, sometimes you just about got to chew your tongue off to stop from saying something that might be damaging. Here's how the NIV renders James 1 and 19. If you'll put James 1 and 19 up, brother. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So pretty much the same. But letting us know everyone's included. Amen. And we want to be able to fulfill this. See how we've got to demonstrate those qualities that Paul said, above all these things? We're going to go back and look at those things. This is how you live it. This is how it's demonstrated. Again, it's not just words that we throw around. Ooh, here's a big question. How quickly do I forgive when offended? Ephesians 4 and 32 lets us know to be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted, forgiving because you were forgiven. You know, that's the part in the what we call the Lord's Prayer that the Lord amplified. The Lord expanded on that. And then Paul picks it up here in Ephesians 4 and 32, also Colossians 3:13. It's emphasized again, forgive because you were forgiven. And here's how the message reads in the latter part of Ephesians 4:32. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Okay. I'll try to. And that's got to be more than just a, well, we'll see. Depends on who says it. Depends on what. No. Do what it says. Follow through on it. Crucify your flesh. Amen. Okay. Here's the outreach one. Do I regularly engage others who look, act, and think differently than I do? We tend to, there's no commonality, there's no acquaintance or friendship or whatever level you say. But how often do I go out of my way to engage those kind of individuals for the purpose of, you know, not just talking about the weather or whatever, but to reach out to them? Paul wanted to win the Jews. He wanted to win those who were without the law, or the Gentiles. He wanted to win the weak. In King James, it says gain, but the other translations will say win. Amen. So, he became like them. Doesn't mean he was sinning. No. Doesn't mean he was going back to his self-righteous ways and then just throwing everything to the wind, or, you know, just melting down to a useless lump. No, he was still the Apostle Paul, but he was trying to reach. He was trying to engage. Amen. Phillips translation shows 1 Corinthians 9 and 22 like this. 1 Corinthians 9 and 22. I have, in short, been all things to all sorts of men, that by every possible means I might win some to God. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel. I want to play my part in it properly. Praise God. So we're going to win. Amen. And that's what we're going to fast for. That's what we're going to believe for. That's what we're going to work for. That's what we're going to see God do in our lives. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there can be that demonstration of what God wants to do to bring souls into his kingdom. That's uncomfortable. But you need to get out of your comfort zone. It's not easy. And you will be rebuffed. You will be rejected. But you're in good company. Because not everybody accepted the Lord. Not everybody believed the apostles. And we'll keep going. Amen. Because there will be some that you can win. Praise God. And no doubt the apostle could have listed, but I did win some. And he could have listed the different ones that, you know, he made a gain with of the Hebrews, the Gentiles, the weak, and so on. And we read through the book of Acts and we recognize, wow, there's quite a bit there. Or we read Romans 16 and how many names are listed there? Over 30? Fellow laborers, fellow workers, many of them he brought into the kingdom of God and mentored. Praise God. And so he was successful. All right, next question. Do I see the hurting in society or in my family or in my church and extend my hand to respond to their need? Am I aware? And do I move from prayer to care? That's the way it's got to be. Jesus spoke about those who were hungry, those who were thirsty, the stranger, the naked or unclothed, the sick, the prisoner. And he said, you've ministered to me. And he said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty? And they went down the list. And the Lord again emphasized, when you've ministered to those in those conditions, you've done it to me. Amen. Now, we don't want to lose the spiritual mission just for the charitable aspect. But we don't want to leave the other undone. Amen. So, we give to Compassion International. We give to REACH, which is an organization that helps with disasters and all the various aspects that are available. And thank God that we can be a part of it. And again, here's how the message renders Matthew 25 and 40. This is, I think I just wrote the latter part of it, Matthew 25 and 40. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Praise God. And thank the Lord we have the opportunity to do that. Okay, the last question, and I have a few other points. Do I use every opportunity to share my faith? Do I use every opportunity given to me to share my faith? It may be incidental. It may be something you've planned. It may be something you've focused on for some time, and you orchestrated the way to get the meeting, you know, a cup of coffee or a bite of lunch or over at your house or whatever. But whatever opportunity comes your way, do you use that opportunity? You know, hope is in short supply in our world today. Very short supply. And the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 15 to be ready always to give an answer to the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. Not meekness and fear that you're going to mess it up. Not meekness and fear that you're not going to be adequate. Not weakness and fear that it's going to fail. No. Remember, you're talking about a soul. Remember, you're dealing with something that's eternal. And you want that message to go forth. Amen. Be ready always to give an answer and to give a reason. Praise God. Every man, every woman. We don't want to cancel anyone out. Sometimes we may look at someone's appearance, or we may look at their actions, or we may look at whatever, and they say, oh, they're not going to want to talk about church. They're not going to want to hear about the Lord. They're not, you know, try not to cancel folks out. Try to reach and try to let people know the power of the Lord. Praise God. Sister Becca was telling me the Bible study today in Dairy Queen with Jocelyn. And here's this guy sitting there listening in. And halfway through the Bible study, he finally said hello. And okay. And here was Bob Labar. And he got to hear the Word of God. Amen. And Bobby's husband, by the way. So we thank the Lord that there's that opportunity for him to hear the word. Amen. And hopefully that would be a draw. That would be a quickening. Because I guarantee you he heard some things that are going to stay in his mind and heart. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that there's that power. So prayer and care. Step into both of them. Recognize how powerful they are. Amen. I mentioned what I was working on. Pastor Greg called me, and I visited with him for a few minutes, and then I said, I better get back to what I'm working on for tonight. He said, what are you doing? I told him about how there's got to be that connection of prayer and care. And he said, okay, goodbye, Lord bless, and so on. And a few minutes later, here's this long text. He sent me a couple of examples of how they went together. Peter and John, on their way to the temple, what for? To offer sacrifice? To sing in praise to the Lord? To meet the rest of the apostles? They were going for prayer. And there's that lame man. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. If you didn't have that experience, Brother Aaron, of feeling the power and the presence of God, both at the workplace and your home place, you wouldn't be able to tell somebody about it. But that power and that presence of God is the impetus and the anointing to be able to step out and say, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. The Lord directs you to do that. Do it. Immediately, his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped up and walked and praised God. And he kept on. He kept on. Praise God. He followed the apostles to Solomon's porch, and Peter preached about a name above every name, or no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And all of those things, and the lame man was standing there with them at the same time that the opposition came against them. And they couldn't say anything against it. In fact, they're the ones that said, that's a notable miracle. It wasn't the it wasn't the press corps of the apostles that followed them around coming up with miraculous headlines. It wasn't the PR group that said, here's how we're going to present it to the crowd. No, it was the opposition that said, that's a notable miracle. Praise God. Because and the way to prayer. They called on the name above every name. Amen. An interruption. Then there was an intervention. Paul and Silas in Philippi, and Luke records it, as we went to prayer. Now, that can be interpreted as they were going to the prayer meeting, or it could be interpreted as they began to call on the Lord. As they went to prayer, as they began to lift up the Lord. Here comes this young lady with a spirit of divination. What she said was accurate, but the spirit she had was of the devil. And she was being used for profit. And a terrible life that she had. And Paul and Silas grieved about what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. And finally, Paul said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. Now, I want to emphasize here, it didn't say Peter screamed. It didn't say Peter yelled. It didn't say Paul hollered. They just said it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I shared that report with you about Mexico, the line of salt, the dolls clothed in red, the missionary saying, that's witchcraft. Pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of any hidden sin, any secret sin. Repent. And then cross that line. Knock those dolls over. And then wait, because the witch is going to come and challenge you. And so she did. And what did the missionary tell him to say? Was it by the authority of Jesus and in his name? Something to that effect.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. And again, it was just say it softly. You know, you don't have to scream and holler, hit high C, anything like that. You just say it. Praise God. And she was delivered. And filled with the Holy Ghost, and baptized in Jesus' name. They destroyed all of her witchcraft paraphernalia, and as she witnessed and testified, and her conversion got spread around town, 148 of her friends were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Because it works. It works. Stand with me, please. Thank God we know it works. Amen. If it didn't work, why would we even bother coming on a Thursday night? Why would we even bother? Oh, it's good food. That's why. Oh, no. No, it's more than that. Praise God. I hope it's more than that for you. I hope you're focused on the presence of the Lord. I hope you're excited about the truth of God's word. Amen. And we'll enjoy the fellowship here in a bit. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes and ask the Lord to use us in this world for prayer and for care because he's given us a powerful message. He's given us a powerful experience. Thank God. We know how wonderful and how powerful he is and the work that he's able to accomplish in us and with us and through us is incredible. It's great. Praise God. Be sure you can tell folks about being healed from diabetes. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Praise God. We thank the Lord for it. And now, those of us who are saved, those of us who are redeemed, those of us who have been delivered, we know it's for keeps. We know it's forever. Hallelujah. And that's how we're going to keep going. That's how we're going to continue on, praise God, and take the message to many, many others that need to know, that need to hear. Let's praise the Lord here for a few minutes now. Oh God, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord Jesus.